Greetings, saints. God be with you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you most of all for joining us for this Bible study. Please grant us grace, Lord, today to understand your will, to be motivated to be disciples of Christ, not just what we loosely call Christians, and learners and followers, as the meaning is. And Lord, let us follow you, because we know if we do that, we will hear your voice and we will not fall away. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we're going to continue with Escape the Falling Away. In part one, we discovered that three out of every four people who hear the gospel fall away from it. And three of those were genuinely saved, and two fell away from it. So there was only one out of the four, or out of the three, who bore fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And the reasons were given there. We studied those. But I'd like to continue and give thought to some other things, okay? For instance, I'd like to talk to you about Romans chapter 11. And let me just give you a little overview of Romans chapter 11 so that you can see something that's very important. And, of course, it has to do with being in the olive tree of faithful and true Israel. And when Jesus came along and preached the new covenant, there was a remnant, of course, first of Israel that listened and heard and actually stayed in their olive tree. The branches that stayed in their olive tree. And the rest were broken off because of unbelief. And the next step was that the remainder of the Jews turned away, and so the Lord turned to the Gentiles, the Gentile church, and they came in through their faith and were grafted into the olive tree. Then it jumps to the very end times, when everything is reversed, because in the end times, the Gentiles have the covenant, but the Jews don't. The Gentiles who are actually in the olive tree are believers. I'm not talking about believing in Jesus Christ. I'm talking about believing enough to obey him and bear fruit, just exactly like we saw in the parable of the sower. Okay? Faith without works is dead. And so in the end time, things were turned around because the fullness of the Gentiles came in, and then God reprobated the rest, and then and this is not a smooth, clean line drawn, because it is a little overlap on both, but and then a remnant of Israel came in to the olive tree, and then God tells us that this olive tree, not the people who fell away, not the people who never heard, not the people who are Jews in the flesh, not that. The olive tree, those who are in the olive tree, is called all Israel. So, before I start this Romans 11 thing, let me say that this parable, we've come to the end time, we're coming to the place of a great falling away. A reprobation of those who do not bear fruit. And now, those in the olive tree who are born from above are Jews, Gentiles or Jews. They're Jews if they are believers in Jesus Christ, because Romans 2 and 28 says, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. Now, think about that. Some people think that these are Jews that are outwardly. No, not according to the covenant, they're not. you know. In the world, yes, but not according to the covenant. He is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. So even if you are an outward Jew, but you have a circumcised heart, the cutting away of the flesh, you know, of your heart, then you are still a Jew in the New Testament. In the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Okay, that's a thought. Here's another one. Romans chapter 9 and verse 8. That is, it is not the children of the flesh that are children of God. And we're talking about Abraham's seed, not his seed in the flesh. It is not his children in the flesh that are the children of God, but the children of the promise are reckoned for a seed. That is, those who receive the promise of the new covenant and what it actually means. Now, I got to admit, most Christians don't know what the new covenant is about, nor do they know what the real gospel is about. So it's very important. I mean, the devil is there to deceive all who don't love the truth and don't go searching for it. And of course, these will all fall away. And that's why there is such a multitude of people who fall away. There's many called, but few chosen. Okay. And then, of course, in verse 25, it says, "And he says unto Hosea, I will call that my people, which was not my people." Well, that would have been the Gentiles, obviously. "And her beloved that was not beloved," and that would have been the church, the New Testament church, because they were not the people of God. "And it shall be that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, they shall be called the sons of the living God." Now, the Jews, of course, didn't believe that they could be sons of God. It was very hard for them to accept what Jesus had to say about that. They were not believers until they believed the new covenant. Okay? And there is no old covenant. It passed away in Christ, the Bible says. And, of course, the Christians who go back under that covenant are breaking their covenant to do that. So they will be rejected too, as children of the handmaid and not of the free woman. That's what Paul warned about. In verse 27, "And Isaiah crieth concerning Israel, if the number of the children of Israel," talking about natural Israel, "be as the sands of the sea, it is the remnant that shall be saved. For the Lord will execute his word upon the earth, finish it and cutting it short." And as Isaiah has said before, "Except the Lord of Sabaoth had left unto us a seed, we had become as Sodom and had been like unto Gomorrah," meaning they're not born again. Of course, Jesus told a Jew that if he wasn't born again, he couldn't enter the kingdom and he couldn't see the kingdom. Okay, now, chapter 11, let's see what it is. It causes this great falling away. I'm going to start in verse 7, Romans 11 and 7. "What then? That which Israel seeketh for, that he obtained not." This is true. Their covenant couldn't make perfect. God found place for a new covenant. Those that didn't enter into it were lost. As Jesus said, I've not been sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They had the covenant. They had to be the first to accept or reject the new covenant. And that's why he spoke to them. Okay? And now he's talking about them. "That which Israel seeketh for, that he obtained not. But the election obtained it." Now that's those early disciples of Jesus who were Jews, who were chosen by God. "Many are called, but few are chosen." The word election here, eklektos, means the chosen. They bore fruit of the word. "But the election obtained it, and the rest were hardened." Yes. And by the way, that's still coming to the spiritual New Testament Jews too, right? And New Testament Israel also. According as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this very day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap. Their table is what they eat, spiritually speaking. It's their teachings, right? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And it's still among the church in a mighty way now, because these people are so confused, they don't know what covenant they're in. Let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Well, it's true. They're stuck with what now is nothing but false religion. You see, if you don't have a covenant and you don't have a sacrifice, how can they have a covenant if they don't have a sacrifice? It's the covenant is based on the sacrifice in the Old Testament. So they got just religion now. No sacrifice. Not that God would accept that sacrifice. There's only one sacrifice that he's accepting, and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow thou down their back always. Okay, now let me point something out to you here. History always repeats. What happened with the old covenant people is basically happening with the new covenant people. The same kind of a falling away. The same kind of blindness. There are many people very religious, but they're not bearing the fruit of Jesus and his disciples. Because when you bear the fruit of Jesus and his disciples, you look like them, you talk like them, you do the things that they do, which we'll cover that a little bit later. So, this falling away is just like the falling away today, except now the Jews or Israel are different. Now the circumcision is in heart and the people are falling away. You see, there is a repetition of history. The things that have been are the things that shall be. There's no new thing under the sun. So God just keeps repeating history so that we know the future. The biggest prophecy in the scripture is history, because it tells us what the future is going to be with the people who are the people of God in that time. Okay? So now we have the covenant, and they don't, and many are falling away from that covenant by many delusions and deceptions, and it's because they don't love the truth. That's what the scripture says. Now, verse 11. I say then, did they stumble that they might fall? God forbid, but by their fall salvation is come unto the Gentiles. Okay, so when they stumbled and fell and the rest were hardened, God turned to the Gentiles in Jesus' day and directly thereafter. And it says to provoke them to jealousy. Hopefully they would repent and turn to the Lord. Now, if their fall is the riches of the world, because now we're talking about all the Gentiles around the world, right? And their loss, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Well, yes. Now, he's going to kind of drift away from that and come back to it, okay? But I speak to you that are Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle of Gentiles, I glorify my ministry. If I by any means may provoke to jealousy them that are my flesh. In other words, he really had a desire for the natural Jews to come into the kingdom. And of course, he and his disciple friends and the people that came in at that time were that remnant. And may save some of them. Amen. For if the casting away of them is the reconciling of the world, which we know that when he turned away from them, he turned to the Gentile world to come into the kingdom. What shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Amen. So we're coming to a time of the resurrection of the natural Jew. by coming into the kingdom. You know, when we're baptized, of course, into Christ, we put on Christ, and we're baptized into his death, right? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So a baptism is, by the way, an act of faith that you are accepting your death, burial, and resurrection of Christ in you, right? And if the first fruits is holy, so is the lump. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and they were, of course, those that were hardened, although all those except for the elect, right, were broken off, and thou being a wild olive was grafted in among them, and didst become partaker with them of the root of the fatness of the olive tree, and that's the Gentiles coming in, glory not over the branches. But if thou gloriest, it is not that thou bearest the root, but that the root beareth thee. Okay? So, thou wilt say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. And this is true. Well, by their unbelief, they were broken off. This is the great falling away that we just read about up in verse 9. Let their table be made a snare and a trap. And it is still this day, by the way, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow thou down their back always. And of course, as we studied in part one, in the parable of the sower, Matthew 13, he said the same thing of them. When Jesus came, as a type of the man-child ministry that's coming in our day and whom Jesus lives by his word and spirit. When Jesus came, there was a great falling away of the first covenant people. And they had no eyes to see and no ears to hear. And the disciples wanted Jesus very much to speak in their language, which was without parables. And he refused because it was not given unto them. Well, it says here, well, by their unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Okay, unbelief in what? Unbelief in the gospel, unbelief that they no longer had to slay lambs and goats, but that Jesus himself was the sacrifice, and that they, through their sin, were the ones that sacrificed Jesus in their own ignorance. And so they didn't believe these things. They didn't believe in the gospel that Jesus spoke and the disciples spoke. And so they were broken off of their own olive tree because they had no covenant, and they still don't. You see, if you hold fast to the old covenant, when God makes a new one, when he makes a new one, it makes the old one old. If you hold fast to the old one and you don't come into the new one, you don't have a covenant. And by the way, even in the natural, they don't have a covenant because they've got no sacrifice. Okay, and if they did have a sacrifice, if they did have the cleansing of the priesthood, and they did actually have a sacrifice, God would not accept it because now he has a new covenant. So all of you Jew worshipers out there, repent and start believing your New Testament. Well, by their unbelief, they were broken off. And they'll break you off too, by the way. They'll try to bring you back under their covenant and break you off too. Well, by their unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. The thing that causes us to stand in the olive tree and in what he calls all Israel is faith. Faith in the gospel. Faith in the good news. Faith in the promises. We're the children of the promise. Not of the letter, but of the promise. The promise is what gives us new birth. The promise is what gives us faith. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word. And we become children of Abraham, not according to the flesh, because those people are still there, and they still have their promises, you know. They have their promised land, right? But we are children according to the Spirit because of faith, the faith of Abraham. By the way, Abraham had a covenant before the Old Testament law ever came about. And the Old Testament law came in because of sin until the seed should come to whom the promise was due. That seed was Jesus Christ, and everybody who abides in him has this promise. Okay? Thou standest by faith. If you lose faith, guess what happens to you? Because, he goes on to say, be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, neither will he spare thee. Oh my goodness, he's talking to the Gentiles. He's not talking once saved, always saved either. He's not even ultimate reconciliation of the all either. He's not saying that at all. If you lose faith, you lose the covenant. Your part of the covenant is the faith. God's part is the provision. He provides all, everything you need. If you stand in faith, you have it. If you don't, you are not justified by faith, and you're not accounted righteous, which is what justified means. And since you're not accounted righteous, you do not get the benefits of the kingdom. You do not, for instance, let's just take one little simple part of this so you can understand. If you do not believe that Jesus, by whose stripes you were healed, if you do not believe that he healed you, you don't get healing. It's that way about all the rest of the covenant too. You're a non-believer in that regard. I'm not trying to draw the line here about who can get in and who can't. I'm just talking to you about how you miss out on the benefits of the kingdom if you do not believe what they say. And it will be proven who is a believer, because these signs will accompany them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Just regarding this one little thing we're talking about here, Jesus gave signs. He said believers had signs. If you see believers that don't have signs, well, they're not a believer according to Jesus. Okay. I mean, you might have accepted Jesus. You might even have a born-again spirit. But if you're not a believer, you won't bear fruit. The fruit is the fruit of Jesus. The fruit is what the one out of four received in the parable of the sower that made them in the kingdom. Right? Neither will he spare thee, talking to the Gentiles. The thing is, faith. It's not the faith of the modern religious system. That's another Jesus and another gospel and another spirit. It is not that faith. It is the same faith that Jesus gave when he made the new covenant. And he called it an eternal covenant. And ever since then, men who have no faith have to change it to make themselves Christians. But they were called Christians because they did what Jesus did, and they walked in his steps, and they spoke what he spoke, and they had his spirit. That's why they're called Christians. Now, that disqualifies an awful lot of people. I understand that. It's just what the word says. Okay. So why would there be such a falling away? Because many people who think they're Christians are not. And they're not bearing the fruit of Jesus Christ. And let everyone that says they abide in him walk as he walked. He said, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. And his disciples did. And even up until today, his disciples do his works. Because they have power. They were obedient and were filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? The Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Oh, did you hear that? Okay, if you're not going to be obedient, why would God give you his Holy Spirit to just condemn you more? Right? Be filled with the Spirit of God. Repent of your sins. Okay? For if God spared not the natural branches, neither will he spare thee. We're talking about a falling away of the Gentiles. Oh, they were never one to begin with. Well, sorry, they were grafted into the olive tree. This is the excuse that the once saved always saved people. Oh, they just never were to begin with. No, this is a falling away. You can't fall away from something you don't have. Okay. No, they fell away. They were in the olive tree. The Lord sent forth his angels to gather out of his kingdom them that do iniquity. If God spared not the natural branches, neither will he spare thee. In other words, you may be in there through faith, but you may not continue in the faith. And there are a lot of people that fall away from the faith. And the faith is, of course, a very large term, but it's basically the things that we were told in our new covenant. If you fall away from these things, how can you call yourself a Christian? Okay? So be not high-minded, but fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Walking in the faith of the New Testament will keep you in the olive tree. The faith of the New Testament. Not the faith of backslidden religion that has no power whatsoever. Don't do the works of Jesus. Don't say what he said, because they've cut so much out of their Bible, there's just hardly anything left. And they don't have power. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit hath come upon you. It's called the promise of the Father. You know, they don't have power. They don't believe in receiving power. They don't believe in them tongues. They don't believe in the rest of those gifts. You know, they're not Christian. Christian is Christ-like. That's not Christian. Okay. But if God spared not the natural branches, neither will he spare thee. Behold then the goodness and the severity of God. Oh, it is severity. I mean, do you think that he would cut off that many of his Old Testament people and he would spare you as his New Testament people for doing the same thing? So, we need to hold fast to the things which are spoken. He pronounces a curse in the last four verses of the book to not add to his word or not take away from his word. Or he would add to you the curses that are in this book, and he would take away your part in the tree of life. Take away your part in the tree of life. Meaning you had it, but you lost it? Yes. So, a great curse is coming. Here we are about to repeat history. The man-child ministry is about to start, which is people that are reformers like Jesus was, in whom Jesus lives, and he is going to go forth. Actually, it says it right here. I'm just going to jump a little bit ahead for you. And so all Israel shall be saved, even as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, who shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. There is the Deliverer. By the way, that's almost a quote from Isaiah 34 and 20. The Redeemer, right? The Lord is coming to reform and bring us back to the covenant that these liars took us away from. Okay? Because if you deny the words of the covenant and the faith of the covenant, you are a murderer. You spiritually kill people. Who is guilty of the blood of the saints and of the prophets? It's the harlot, the one who received the seed of man instead of the seed of God. It's the harlot is guilty of the blood. How many people today are dead because they did not believe that Jesus delivered us from the curse, delivered us from the demons, delivered us from sickness, delivered us from sin? How many? Because these people have destroyed the gospel. They're guilty, and you're going to see them judged in the exact same way that the leadership of Israel was judged. Blindness, deafness, not being able to accept. And these people are going to be a test for those people that come behind to find out who it is that loves the truth. The truth is here, it's in black and white, but they deny it. They're idolaters because that you can look straight at the word and they will deny it for their own idol, their own religious idol, and their own preacher idols, you know. And so God is frankly angry with them. He's giving them time to repent, and they have not. Some will repent and come into the kingdom, some will not. What can we say? It's a sad thing. And the disciples, the early disciples, were sad that those three out of four were not sticking with what God was giving, you know. It's the same today. We see the same today. We are seeing a falling away already. A great falling away of people who do not believe the word and refuse to obey it because of their idols. Well, behold then the goodness and the severity of God towards them that fell, severity. But towards thee, God's goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise thou also shall be cut off. Cut off means that you're in the olive tree and you're cut off. Now, how do you get around that? I don't know. But a good many people are going to be cut off even before the tribulation comes. Now, they're all talking about being raptured, but I can tell you the bigger part is going to be cut off. A great falling away. Okay. And they also, if they continue not in their unbelief, shall be grafted in. Now he's talking about the Jews. If they don't continue in their unbelief, they can be grafted back into their own olive tree, right? For God is able to graft them in again. Oh, praise God. And we know it, too. And I know there's always been some Jews coming into the new covenant, or halfway into the new covenant, and you never, you know, they're having a problem. They don't know which covenant to obey. They think it's good to keep all the feasts and all these things, and they don't understand that that's exactly what the Bible warns about. Those feasts were parables. They're not keeping the parable. They're doing the parable. They're not keeping it. There is a fulfillment of that parable. And they don't know what it is. And that's because of the letter. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So God is able to graft them in again, and he's going to do that. And when you see larger numbers of them coming in, just know that the end of the time of the Gentiles is close. For if thou wast cut out of that which is by nature a wild olive tree, and was grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which are the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Praise God. For I would not, brethren, have you ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceits, that a hardening in part hath befallen Israel, talking about natural Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So God has hardened them, just as he said. And of course, those who have passed away in their sins are separated from the kingdom. But the Lord, when we come close to the end of the time of the Gentiles, the fullness of the Gentiles, those who are going to come in is the fullness of the Gentiles. Then God is going to restore Israel, and the Gentiles will be hardened. Those that have not come into the kingdom at that time, they will hear, but they will not obey. And so all Israel shall be saved. So now we see that all Israel is everybody in the olive tree who's been grafted in, not those that are not grafted in, because they're not believing as the New Testament speaks. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, that they that believed on him were to receive. Are you going to receive the Holy Spirit? Have you not yet received the Holy Spirit? What are you waiting for? Okay, So all Israel shall be saved. That's those that are grafted in. Those that are only believers according to the new covenant are now in that olive tree. Even Jesus, who went and preached to the souls in prison, you know, separated a group of them from Sheol, which is the place of the dead, and took them with him. So many Old Testament faithful people are in the kingdom because of that. He preached the gospel to them. So all Israel shall be saved. And this is not talking about all natural Israel. As you can see, it's not talking about all natural Israel. It's those who are Israel in spirit, whose circumcision is in the heart and not in the flesh. Okay? Even as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer. Now, Zion, of course, is Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is that city which is born from above. It's the born again Jerusalem, not the one that's in bondage with her children that Paul spoke about, who were sons of the handmaid because of the law. It's not them. It is not them. Clearly. And, you know, to the churches, when he spoke to the Philadelphia church, he spoke about them being born from above, right? And that's exactly what it is. That bride, that heavenly Jerusalem, is coming down out of heaven because we are being born from above. Clearly. And it is the bride, not the rest. As you know, Zion is not the whole church. And never was. Jerusalem was not the whole church. It never was. But out of Zion, the deliverer is going to come. God is going to shine forth out of Zion. That's what he said. Oh, that salvation were come forth out of Zion, the Bible says. Zion is going to be the leadership, much like he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, Jesus and his disciples. That was spoken of him and his disciples. Those first fruits unto Jesus. And the deliverer is the one that's going to set or bring in the remnant of Israel. He shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, and this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. And as touching the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. That is right now. Okay. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake, meaning he's going to bring them the gospel again. And this time, the elect will receive it again, because that's what happened before. History just keeps repeating, right? For the gifts and the calling of God are not repented of. All right, so this is the reason that so many people are going to fall away is because they're not believers according to the New Testament. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said. I've never seen so many religions that pick and choose verses, and that don't walk in the steps of Jesus, and that don't have the powers that Jesus had, and that passed on to his disciples, which means learners and followers. We have another Jesus, another gospel, and another spirit. And this is nothing but Antichrist. And it's accepted. It's not recognized as, these are not recognized as the cults that they are. It is accepted. And if you believe what Jesus believed, and you walk in his steps, and you walk in his power, and you believe that the gospel delivers you from sin, and that you're delivered out of the power of darkness, you're no longer under the power of darkness, you are in a cult to them. Because they've never read the word. They've just accepted what the preacher says. But they are the cult. And they are the dangerous one. And these are the people throughout history who have killed the righteous who believe the word of God. They killed all the prophets. Their forefathers killed all the prophets. They killed the disciples, etc., etc. The same people. And they persecute them today when they try to tell them the truth, because they love them like Paul loved his own flesh people, you know. So, okay, look at Mark chapter 7. And I'm going to start reading here in verse 17. And when he was entered into the house from the multitude, his disciples asked of him the parable. And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Perceive ye not that whatsoever from without goeth into the man, it cannot defile the man, Some people are still hung up in Old Testament doctrine because they don't understand that those meats, clean and unclean, were symbols of partaking of people and their lives. So they're not keeping the parable. Well, actually, they're acting out the parable. They're not keeping what the parable points to, you know. And so they think that they're defiled for eating this and eating that. But Jesus said, hey, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. And because it goeth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draught. And he said, making all meats clean. Did you hear it? This he said, making all meats clean. You know, if you bless your food, it's blessed. If you don't believe you can bless your food, it's not blessed. It's that simple. But you're supposed to bless your food, right? And, of course, everything's under the curse. It's not just the clean or the unclean meats. All meats are under the curse. People are dying from meats that are not only kosher or unkosher. You know, they're dying from everything out there. Because it's all under the curse. The only way it's not under the curse is if you're not under the curse. And if you believe that Jesus became a curse for you so that you could have Abraham's blessings. See, Jesus bore the curse, but these people don't believe it. They believe they have to be very careful about what they eat. And he's telling them, no, it's not what you eat that defiles you. Okay? This he said, making all meats clean. You know, Peter didn't quite catch on, even back here. And in Acts chapter 10, it happened to him again. A sheet came down out of heaven with all the animals on it. And he said, Peter, rise and eat. Oh, not so, Lord. Nothing unclean has ever entered it. He said, what I make clean, don't you make unclean. He corrected him. This he said, making all meats clean. And he said, so those of you that have been Judaized, you need to repent. Okay, and believe what Jesus said. And he said, that which proceedeth out of the man, that defileth the man. This is what makes you unclean. What comes out of you makes you unclean, not what goes into you. Okay, and defile is just a word that means unholy or unclean. It's koinou, by vines, okay? And it's unholy and unclean. And we know, by the way, in Hebrews 12 and 14, that without holiness or sanctification, same word, same exact word, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So holy is clean. And a man's unclean by what's in his heart and comes out of his heart. He's not unclean by what he eats. For within, out of the heart of men, evil thoughts proceed. Now, how do thoughts proceed out of the man? Well, they proceed out of the man in your words. You know, if we confess him before men, he will confess us before the Father. He's the high priest of our confession. And the word confess means to speak the same as. If you don't read this word and say what this word says, you're not getting confessed before the Father. And that's a very dangerous thing. If you want the benefits of this word, you must confess this word. So that's one way out of your mouth. This uncleanness comes. The things that you believe, the things that your dead religion believes, the things that you believe that are under the curse, and you don't understand that you're not supposed to be under the curse. Jesus became a curse for you, Galatians 3 and 13. He bore the curse, all of it, all of it. And of course, if you believe that, you will confess that. And when you confess that before men, then Jesus, who is the high priest of your confession, will confess it before the Father. So the high priest has to have something to offer before the Father. It is your confession. If you don't, if they speak not according to this word, there is no mourning for them. If any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God. Why is that? Because you cannot add to or take away from this word, which your religion most often does. And in Jesus' day, all of the religions did. And in our day, history is repeating, because they all do too. Okay, so what we have to do is get back to the Word. Go home. Read your Bible. Don't go to a church until you find out what one's supposed to look like. Okay. So from within, out of the heart of men, evil thoughts proceed. Now, the thoughts turn into words, but they also turn into actions. When you think something in your heart, you have to think it in your heart before you do it, you know. So, thoughts turn into actions, whether it's words or whether it's in your feet or whether it's in your hands. It's the action that follows the thought, right? And that all defiles a man from the very thought on, okay? Evil thoughts proceed, fornications, thefts. Takes your hands usually to steal something, right? You don't have to say a word, but you see, so it's just your works after your thoughts, you see. Thefts, murders, adulteries, covetings, wickednesses, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, railing, a pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. They make the man unholy and unclean. And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So, we must restrict our thoughts. Every sin starts with thought, you know. Thoughts turn into emotions. And emotions turn into actions. You see, if you don't stop at the thought, it turns to the emotions, and quite often the emotion will rule you. And then you will act. So all sins, you know, come in threes like that. And so if you just carry the part about speaking, you know, we can look at Luke chapter 6 and 43 on down. Let's read that. For there is no good tree that bringeth forth corrupt fruit. Nor again a corrupt tree that bringeth forth good fruit. Okay, now let me say that the fruit is your works. It is your works. It is your actions. The fruit of the seed of the word that God sowed in the heart of the people in the parable of the sower should have been turned into good actions. And if you don't act on the word, faith without works is dead. You can't say you're a believer because faith brings forth fruit, and faith causes you to do works, good works. Okay. For each tree is known by its own fruit. In other words, what a person does. Every man's going to be judged according to his works. Okay, so a tree is known by its own fruit. For out of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. And of course, a bramble doesn't appear to have fruit. You know, it's thorny. It's hard to live with, right? The earth was cursed with thorns. That was part of the curse. Okay. And 45. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. So out of him come the good works, the good words, the good fruit, right? Because this treasure is in his heart. Now in the parable of the sower, Jesus was sowing a treasure into the hearts of men. He expected to see fruit of that treasure. Okay? But the devil came to steal the seed which is sown in their hearts, you know. And he does that truly because if you don't act on what you know, the word says, it's gone from you. He can steal it from you. And so you've made no progress. You've borne no fruit, right? The good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And the evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Well, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's what the Bible says. So, what comes out of your heart, if you speak in accordance with the Word of God, if you homo legeo, which means to speak the same as you're commanded to do, to agree with what the Word of God says, so that your high priest can defend you before the Father. Okay? So, you understand that when you skip over those verses that are not according to your religion, you're skipping over part of what creates in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because nobody else has a hope of glory but those who have Christ in them. And Christ is the Word. So when you skip a part of the Word, you're skipping a part of Christ. And people are quite generally, you know, they can pick and choose with no conscience, because you say, well, this is in the Word of God. Well, we don't believe that. Well, you don't believe the Word of God, you know. This Word has to be in us so that we become the Word made flesh. That's how we bear the fruit of Jesus Christ. He was the Word made flesh. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh, you know. And we're told in Matthew 12:37, by thy word thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. How is that? Well, we just, the last four verses of the book tell you, if you take away from the words of the book, he'll take away your part in the tree of life. If you add to the words of the book with your dead religion, well, then he'll add to you the plagues that are written in this book. So, we have to repent. We have to get back to bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. So, again, let's speak about this fruit for just a moment, and we'll come back here, okay? Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16, he says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now, how do we walk in the Spirit? We walk according to the Word. We walk according to the will of God. And we're not going to fulfill the lusts of the flesh if we do that. It's important that you know the Word so that you know how to walk with God. How can two walk together except they be agreed, we're told? How do you know who you're agreeing with, and how do you know who you're walking with, if you haven't studied the Word to find out who he is? This is his Word. He's not schizophrenic. What he says is who he is. Remember, the Lord on the white horse was the Word of God. Right? For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Now, you know, lust is desires. People are consumed by desires, and they like to be justified in their desires, and they usually justify their evil desires by denying the Word or adding to the Word so that they can do what they want to do. They do this. They don't understand that you're throwing away your fruit. And if you keep doing this, you will not have time. There is a door closing. You will not have time to bear the fruit of Jesus Christ. You will not be in the one out of four. You will be those that are rejected. So, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are contrary one to the other, that you may not do the things that you would. That means the things that you want to, the things that you lust to do. Lust means desire. It's the things that you desire to do. Okay? You can't do the things you desire to do. You have to do the things that God desires to do. And he will The way he saves you is by working in you to will and to work for his good pleasure. Or to will and to do for his good pleasure. That's how he saves you, is putting his will in you. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed, because they do what they want to do, because what they want is what God wants. Now you see how freedom comes? It's joy too. If you love to serve God and keep his commandments, and you study the word and you put it in your heart, and you find these opportunities to agree with the word, then out of that good treasure, you're going to bear fruit. Now he's going to tell you what the fruit is. Okay? But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Notice he calls them works of the flesh. But when he gets a little further down, he calls the works of the Spirit the fruit of the Spirit. Did you notice that? That's because the fruit is the works. Okay? These are not only the works of the flesh that he's about to talk about. These are the fruit of the flesh. Okay? He's just emphasizing a different aspect here. Okay? Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Fornication. These are also the fruit of the flesh. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. Which is a license to do what you want to do or desire to do. Right? Idolatry. Which many are in religious idolatry today, and they don't know that they are following Antichrist. Because Jesus, anti means against, but it also means in the place of. You know, Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. You only have those two choices. You're either for him, and you're for his word, and you speak his word, and you love his word, and you repent, or you're against him. Okay? Idolatry, sorcery or witchcraft, pharmakia, okay? Enmities, strife, jealousies, wraths, factions, divisions. God hates this stuff. You know? Parties, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, did you hear that? If you do these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is where God rules. His kingdom is where he rules. So if you're doing these things, he's not ruling you. You're not inheriting his kingdom. And you're not bearing fruit, because the fruit is the fruit of his kingdom too. Okay. But the fruit of the Spirit, or you could say the works of the Spirit. Because the works and the fruit are the same. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Do you do these things? That's the fruit of the Spirit. Are you doing these things? Every man is going to be judged according to his works, the Bible says. God doesn't have to judge you according to your faith. Faith without works is dead, so he just judges the works, right? People who say they have faith and don't have works, they got nothing. It won't get them there. What are the works? These are the works. Okay, if you're really believing, you will have these works, which he calls fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. How do you fulfill the law? Well, there you have it right there. He's telling you how to fulfill the law. Against such there is no law. And they that are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof. They that are of Christ Jesus. So the people that have no control over their flesh, they just do whatever they want. He said that you may not do the things that you would, and so they just do the things that they want. They haven't crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof. What is crucifixion? Crucifixion is taking the word and submitting to it, even though your old man does not want to. You see, the more you refuse to submit to what the old man wants, the more he dies. You're not feeding him, so he dies. If you give him what he wants, it's harder the next time, and he will just take more and more ground. And that's what the devil knows. He's there to offer you all these flesh desiring things. You know, the pleasures of sin for a season. Because he knows as long as you partake of that, you're not bearing fruit. And when the time comes for you to be judged, and you have not borne enough fruit to enter the kingdom, you will be rejected and cast away. If we live by the Spirit let us also walk. Let us not become vainglorious, provoking one another and envying one another. And brethren, even if any man be overtaken in any trespass, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Yep. Okay, so let's go on to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 2 says, I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I espoused you to one husband. And of course that is to receive only the seed of that husband. If you receive the seed of man, which cannot be defended by the Word of God, and is contrary to the Word of God, you are in the body of the harlot. She is the mother of the harlots of the earth. Right? It doesn't matter what you think, which religion it is, it makes no difference whatsoever. If you receive the seed of man instead of the seed of the Word of God, it will not crucify you. Man does not crucify himself. The Word of God is crucifying. It crucifies your flesh. It denies it its food. I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I espoused you to one husband, that I might present you as a pure virgin to Christ. A virgin is one who has not received the seed of man. This is the problem, because if it's the seed of man, it does not bring forth the fruit of Christ. There's only one seed that brings forth the fruit of Christ. It is the Word of God. So therefore, you need to seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because if you don't, you're going to fall away. And this is the time of the great falling away. Even as Revelation 12 speaks. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve in his craftiness, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity and the purity that is towards Christ, who is the Word, by the way. And yes, it's already happened. The serpent has beguiled many away from the Word of God. There's only one thing you can do to keep from falling away. Let's see what the serpent does. Go back up in the chapter a little bit here. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God, to the casting down of strongholds. Stronghold is a place that the enemy has taken that you need to have. And you need to cast him down. And he tells you how to do it. Casting down imaginations or reasonings. And every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God. You cast it down with the truth. Repentance is the process of casting down your error and taking up truth. That's what it is. Because this is the only thing that's going to save you from falling away. The only thing. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God. So since the knowledge of God, the Word of God, is your standard that you're going to be judged by. You must go there to find out if what you're thinking is correct. Do not trust men, because they don't have that high of esteem for the Word. Don't trust them. You cannot trust them. You must go yourself and look and see what the truth is. Now, I don't suggest you go and listen to them first, because it's a lot harder to uproot error than it is to not put it there in the first place. Because once it's there, you can have religious pride or fear or all these things. Do you know the devil makes war against people overcoming dead religion? He loves people to be caught in dead religion because he knows they're not going to bear fruit, and he'll have them sooner or later because they're all going to fall away. And anybody else is going to outgrow that and keep on going as they read the Word. They'll see what I saw when I was a baby Christian. They don't believe this Word. I moved on. And then I realized, well, here's some people that believe a whole lot more of the Word, but they don't believe this Word, so I moved on. You know, just keep growing. You don't have to stop. Just don't respect them or that building that they have or that religion that they have or the man at the front. Respect the Word of God. It's the only thing that will give you life. The only thing that will give you His life. The only thing that's acceptable. No one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. Did you hear that? Who is going to heaven? Jesus. Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the Word made flesh. He was the manna that came down in the wilderness to give life to them in the wilderness. That's what Jesus said. So everything that's against the knowledge of the Word of God, cast it down. It says, bringing every thought into captivity. This is how we win this battle. A lot of people are going to lose this battle. A lot of people have lost this battle. You will lose it too, unless you do this. You read the Word of God and let it be your conscience. Your conscience is not even acceptable before God until it's renewed. Your conscience tells you to do good and don't do bad, but you've got to show it what's good and what's bad. And that's why you put the Word of God in your heart. It is the seed that brings forth the fruit. The seed. That's right. The seed is the Word of God. There's no other seed that can bring forth the fruit of Jesus Christ. None other. Okay? So you must be very careful. And by the way, you folks that send your poor children off to a pagan college with a bunch of leftists up there, and they come back, you wonder why. They come back pagans because they've been bribed into it. They have to give answers according to what these teachers say, or they don't have any favor. They realize pretty quickly that they're being bribed and bought out, and they lose their Christianity. You know, listen, I'd rather be poor, and I'm not going to be poor ever. But I'd rather be poor. See, people think you have to have higher education to have a good living. Who cares? You got to have Jesus for eternal life. That's got to be the main thing. Don't send your kids off to some school where these leftists are ruling. For goodness sake. I mean, you're destroying them. It'll be your fault. Repent. Repent. And neither sit under somebody that's full of leaven, that does not use the Word of God to prove his points. And I mean, the sum of thy words is truth. It's not just a little here and a little there. It's the sum of the, in other words, it all put together brings forth the truth. You cannot cast out any of the Word of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And who is that? He is the Word of God. Every thought. And by the way, it says, and being in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience shall be made full. So don't get caught in this trap that you're running out there and judging people according to your religion. It's when you are obedient to the word that God can use you to correct someone else. And if you're not being obedient to the word, keep your mouth shut. Go and repent. Okay, back to our original text in chapter 11. Verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, another Jesus. Do they preach another Jesus? Well, yes, they conveniently have made up their own Jesuses. You know, Hebrews 13 and 8 says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But they say he's changed. And now he's really kind of useless because he just kind of watches until you get through with life and then he raptures you, you know. He's kind of useless. He really, they're Jesus. He doesn't heal the sick. He doesn't cast out devils. He doesn't preach the real gospel that actually saves people from sin. He tells you it's okay to sin. You'll be fine, you know. Of course, it's the devil in a Jesus disguise. Right? For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we did not preach. Okay, so we know the Jesus they preached, because they all walked in the same steps of the same Jesus. They did his works. They had power. But now, you're not expected to have any of that. And they walked a holy life. Well, now you can't do that. According to these people, you can't do that. You're always going to be a sinner. You know, it makes preacher feel comfortable since he's a sinner. If you're a sinner, I mean, my goodness, you would really convict him badly if you actually found out that you could depart from sin because of the power of the gospel. So they really jump on you if you try to get, you pass them up, you know. They stand in the door and they won't enter in, and they don't want to let you to enter in either. And the blood of many is on their hands because they have another Jesus. Their Jesus does nothing that the first Jesus did. And they can't tell you why they changed it. And said, all passed away. It all passed away. Well, it didn't all pass away because Corinthians was written quite a while after Jesus and on. It didn't pass away. And even up until this day, there are people that do the works of Jesus. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. They still do the works of Jesus today. Well, then they start saying it's of the devil. And then they're blaspheming the Holy Spirit because they're attributing a work of the Holy Spirit to the devil. So guess what you end up with? You got a devil in the pulpit. He doesn't want your minds to be corrupted from the simplicity and the purity that is towards Christ. Just believe the word. They say they believe the word, but they've ripped pages out here and there until there's not much left of the New Testament. So, if he comes and preaches another Jesus, whom these original apostles who walked with Jesus did, if you receive a different spirit, because if you receive another spirit, another Jesus, it is another spirit, right? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you receive a different spirit, notice that religious Christians can be very mean and unfruitful. Which you did not receive, or a different gospel, a different good news. It is a different gospel when it doesn't deliver you from the curse. When it doesn't heal your body. When it doesn't deliver you from demon spirits. When it doesn't meet your needs. It's a different gospel. And it's a different gospel which you did not accept, that is, in the beginning. and you do well to bear with him. So, what is this other spirit and other gospel? Well, let's look in 1 John. And I'm going to read verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they all are not of us. So here's a falling away right here. They are not of the Word of God. They went out for the purpose of cleansing the body, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. They go out by their own selfish ambitions, because they tried to hide their sin and it can't be hidden, because God won't permit it, and because He causes them to fall away to get them out of your midst. And you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. And I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, even he that denieth the Father and the Son. He's talking about the people that go out, right? Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. And he that confesseth the Son hath the Father. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. Okay, if you do that, you will prove who you are, right? Whether you're one of us or not, you know. Let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. In other words, the words that were written in this book. If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son. Oh, so that's not the way to fall away. To abide in the Son. If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you shall abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise which He promised us, even the life eternal. What gives you life eternal but the seed that manifests Jesus Christ in you? Because no one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. God's looking for a Son of God, a manifested Son of God in you. And the only thing that can do that is the words that we receive from the beginning. How far the overwhelming majority of what's called Christianity has fallen away from that. And of course, they brought a stench that people believe that what they're doing is Christianity. That's so sad. So sad. And also, 2 John chapter 5. Excuse me, 2 John verse 5 on down. Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote to thee a new commandment, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we should walk after His commandments. Okay, it doesn't matter. You have to find out what His commandments are and follow them. If you want eternal life, if you want to not fall away, that's what you have to do. You don't have to go to church. I'm going to tell you why. You say, oh, well, you don't want to forsake the assembling together. Well, that's exactly right. But it's assembling together with believers. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said. You don't have to go anywhere. They're going to leaven you and make you into something other than a walking, talking Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the thing. I mean, we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. That real Jesus, that first Jesus, we look in the mirror and that's who we see. We want to come into His image. We behold in a mirror. We with an unveiled face behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Not another Jesus, the same image. When you go into a church, they got no power, they have no gifts of the Spirit, they don't believe you can obey the Word of God, what are you doing there? It's not a church. They haven't come out. The church is the called out ones. They have not come out. There's dead religion there. They're moralizing you. You'll never overcome by moralizing. It has to be the gospel. You have to believe in what Jesus took away from you and delivered you from at the cross. And you have to speak it too, because faith without works is dead. And this is the commandment, even as you heard from the beginning, there it is again, that you should walk in it. For many deceivers are gone forth into the world. There it is. They came out from among us. Right? That it might be proven that all are not of us. For many deceivers are gone forth into the world. Pulpits are full of them, saints. Even they that confess not that Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh. Oh my. Well, the real Jesus is coming in your flesh if you are taking in this word and repenting. The real Jesus, the original Jesus, not the false Jesus, cometh in the flesh. Not came in the flesh. That's not what it says there. Actually, it says cometh in the flesh. Do you say that Jesus cometh in the flesh? No, I'm always going to be a sinner. Well, you know, you're repeating a false Antichrist gospel. There's nothing that the devil would rather have you believe than you're always going to be a sinner. Because he saved you from sin. He made you free from sin. Romans 6 says twice. He made you free from sin. He delivered you out of the power of darkness. If you don't believe that, you will not have it. If you believe the Antichrist preachers, you'll only have what they got. And it didn't save them. And it won't save you. And this is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Oh my. The deceiver and the Antichrist. We must repent. We must change our mind. We must cast down everything that's not the Word of God. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. And they went forth into the world. In other words, they left them. Look to yourselves that you lose not the things which we have wrought. What do we call that? A falling away. That you lose not the things which we have wrought. But that you receive a full reward. And whosoever goeth onward, that's people who start out with you, but not necessarily stay with you. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. It doesn't matter if they call themselves a Christian. It doesn't matter if they've accepted Jesus as a personal Savior. You have to judge by the Word. If they go on and they do not abide in the teaching, they don't have God. Let's just say what the Bible says. They don't have God. You see, the devil would deceive you into thinking they still have God and they can believe what they want to believe. It's okay. And no, they can't. You have to have the renewed mind of Christ. That's what repent is. Change your mind. Kick out the old virus-inflicted software and put in the new stuff. The real thing. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. There it is again. He that abideth in the teaching of this book. You say, Well, David, I don't have any good churches around me. It doesn't matter. You don't go somewhere where they're going to pollute you, infest you. Some people get caught up in these things and they never come back to the Lord. They make you quite comfortable without reading the Word. They really get uncomfortable if you read the Word, because then you got questions that they can't answer. If anyone cometh unto you and bringeth not this teaching, that is, that whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. If anyone cometh unto you and bringeth not this teaching, receive him not into your house, and give him no greeting. Why? He has an evil spirit to spread to you. An evil spirit that's quite comfortable with backslidden religion. And if you get comfortable with the falling away, you're in it. For he that giveth him greeting partaketh of his evil works. Yes, you say, well, I've taught this for a long time, and some people, they feel uncomfortable. Yeah, they feel uncomfortable. So sorry. I mean, it's the Word of God. You must do it. If you want to avoid the spirits that other people have, you must keep that. You must obey that. You must repent. You must turn to the Lord. So let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I like also 1 John 2, verse 28. It says, "And now, my little children, abide in him, that if he shall be manifested," and that the word manifested there is phaneru, to make visible or to cause to shine, okay? "If he shall be manifested," if he is caused to shine in you, if you come into his glory, "we behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into the same image from glory to glory." You see, brighter and brighter you should shine. The more words you put in you, the more you obey, the more you shine. And he says, "If he shall be manifested, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Do you know that there are people who will be ashamed at his coming because they were deceived? They didn't know that God expects the glory of God to be manifested in his sons. Right? Ashamed before him at his coming. "And if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also that doeth righteousness is begotten of him." Same word for born. Born of him. Okay. When you do righteousness, you are born of him. And literally, verse 9 of chapter 3 says, "Whosoever is begotten or born of God doeth no sin, because his seed abideth in him." The seed is what? The Word. His Word abideth in him. "And he cannot sin, because he is born or begotten of God. In this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. So the children of the devil also are coming to manifestation." Remember what Jesus said about the tares sown among the wheat? "An enemy hath done this. Let them grow together until the harvest, lest you root up the wheat also." The thing about the tares is, it's a very, very small fruit. It's not going to pass muster, right? "And whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." Love is the most important. Loving the brother. They go out usually because there's no love there. They're angry and they're unforgiving. They can't get you to agree with their sinful ways. And so they get angry with you. And there's a solution too. Humility is super important. There are people that keep their sins. They don't know how to get rid of them. And they're too proud to do it, actually. But we're told in 1 John chapter 1, if we say that we have fellowship in Him, verse 6, and walk in darkness, what is darkness? It's without the light of the Word. You can be in religion. You can go to church every day and walk in darkness. Okay? But you can't submit to the light of the Word and be in darkness. And if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light of the Word, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Notice this. If you walk in the light, you have fellowship with the brethren. You don't have to be one of those that went out from among us as Antichrist. Have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Notice. If you walk in the light, you have fellowship with the brethren, and the blood will cleanse you. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, see, this is where humility comes in, where there's honesty and there's love. Many people have fear or even rejection, which keeps them with their sin. Because if you confess your sin, the Lord is going to give you help. But if you don't, because of pride or because of rejection, or because you think you're better than somebody else, or because you don't forgive them. He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, there's humility involved in not falling away. As a person's sins build up in them, they fall away. Because the sin overcomes the seed of the Word. And they fall away. It's just that simple. And there is a great falling away coming, which is one reason I'm sharing this with you today. This great falling away is going to be due to people ignoring the principles that we're looking at. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We must continue in the faith. We must repent and turn our life over to Him and walk in His ways. Colossians 1. Okay, I'm going to start in verse 9. For this cause, this is a prayer, by the way. This is a great prayer, you know. And also in Ephesians 1 and 15 is a great prayer, you know. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray and to make request for you, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom. Notice that God does offer this, that you may be filled. You're not praying for something that you don't think can happen. That you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Wow! That's awesome. So we can pray for this. To walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing. Oh my goodness. That's awesome. Bearing fruit in every good work. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, the knowledge of God, of course, makes you more responsible. So when you get knowledge, of course, knowledge also gives you power. But knowledge also makes you responsible, so you're responsible. Too much is given, much is expected, you know, to walk in what you see. If you don't walk in what you, if you say, you put the Word of God aside and you say, well, I don't want to see anymore because I'll be more responsible. Well, if you don't see anymore, you won't bear any fruit. So you don't have a choice. You'll either be proven to be one of the elect or not. Okay? and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory. Now, you can't have that unless you got the Holy Spirit. That's what empowers you, right? You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And he was talking to the believers. Oh, no, David, we get the Holy Spirit when we get saved. Oh, no, you don't. You need to read the book of Acts. According to the might of his glory, unto all patience and long-suffering with joy. These are all things that are being offered through this prayer, you see. Giving thanks unto the Father who made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The word meet, of course, means able. He made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints who walk in the light, is what he's saying. Who delivered us out of the power of darkness. So, don't say that you have to obey the devil or have to obey sin, because God delivered you out of that power of that. You've been delivered. You, of course, this comes through faith in such verses as this. And translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Amen. Let's see. Let's go on down to verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it was the good pleasure of the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. And the fullness here just means a divinity. It does not mean Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And through him to reconcile all unto himself. Things was not there in the original. There's no numeric pattern in it. He's not reconciling all things. He's reconciling all of his people. And through him to reconcile all unto himself. And the word reconcile just means it's a word that's apokatalasso. And it means to exchange completely. Exchange completely. The Lord is able to exchange completely. You have to, first of all, know what it is that Jesus has to give you. Because everything he has, he gives you. The Bible says, as he is, even so are we in this world. Everything he has given to you at the cross. But there is an exchange that has to be made. Because your sins are put upon that cross, and his righteousness is given to you. This exchange is being carried out as you walk by faith. When you see what belongs to you and what doesn't belong to you, which is the sin, the corruption, the curse, and so on. For it was a good pleasure of the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell, and through him to reconcile all unto himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things upon the earth or things in the heavens, and again, the word things is not there, on the earth or in the heavens, and you being in time past alienated and enemies in your mind, that is the unrenewed mind, it's the normal, natural mind that you inherit from your parents and your environment and so on. Enemies in your mind. Naturally speaking, your natural mind is the enemy of God. And the, of course, the renewed mind of Christ is at total peace with God. You can't renew your mind unless you put this in your heart, right here, this word in your heart. And the enemies in your mind and in your evil works. Yet now hath he reconciled. There's that word, apokatalasso. He exchanged you completely. Took your sins, nailed them on that cross. Took his righteousness, his work, his works, his life, his provision, everything. And he gave it to you. And it's already done. Yet, but there's a condition. It's already done, but there's a condition. Okay. Yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him. So this reconciliation will make you everything that he is. Holy and without blemish and unreprovable. And here's the condition. If so be that you continue in the faith. Well, we come right back to where we started. Okay? If there's a condition. So why do people fall away? Well, Romans 11. The only thing that causes you to stand in the olive tree is your faith. And it's not the faith that religion gives you. It's the faith the Word of God gives you. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word, right? So the most important thing you can possibly do for yourself and for your children is to get them to love the Word of God. Teach them to love the Word of God. Teach them in all the opportunity that you have to teach them the Word of God. Send them off to college. They probably won't ever read the Word of God there. They don't have time. If so be. So he will reconcile you. You will bear the fruit of Jesus Christ. You will be reconciled. His life, his nature, his purity, his health, his deliverance, his provision, all of this will be yours. But you have to believe it. And unreprovable before him, if so be that you continue in the faith. Jesus said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. If so be that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Because obviously a lot of people are moved away from it. It's easy to forget the things of God. You have to renew your mind constantly. You have to put the Word in there enough until it overcomes what's already in there. Some people are better at this than others. Some people spend more time with the Lord in the Word than others. If you love Him, you're going to keep His commandments. If you love Him, you're going to search out His commandments. If you love truth and righteousness and purity and reconciliation, you will go after it. It's already done. Now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him. Now they think this is just a thing of faith. It really doesn't have to be manifested. Oh, that's false. This is so false. Read the context here again. You're reconciled if you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached in all creation under heaven, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister. Oh, how awesome! How awesome! The Lord is a great Savior. All right, 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy begat us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who by the power of God are guarded through faith unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So, the endurance of your faith brings you that reconciliation, that exchange, right? At the end of each trial, you either receive his salvation or you keep what you got, okay? Because if you endure in your faith, you're going to receive it. That's what he said. He said it's already been done, it's already been given, but You have to endure in your faith if you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel. So you continue in your faith, you hold fast, and faith calls the things that be not as though they were. You consider it done. And faith is the substance of the thing hoped for, while the evidence is not seen. So you're believing for something that you don't see. And Jesus taught us how faith works in Mark 11:24. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. Believe you received them. Because we received them when? At the reconciliation, at the cross. That's when we received them. And you shall have them. Believe you received it. Don't talk against it. Don't add to the word. Don't take away from the word. Just speak the word. If any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God. Agree with the word. Through faith unto a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. So this holding fast to this faith brings you to salvation. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been put to grief in manifold trials or temptations, right? You're tested. The trying of your faith is more precious than gold, right? And let patience in your trials, by the way, cause you to be perfect, as he said in James chapter 1. That the proof of your faith being more precious than gold that perisheth, though it is proved by fire, may be found unto the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, of the revealing or the manifestation of Jesus Christ in you, right? Whom not having seen ye love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Yes, we're believing to see the Lord Jesus Christ. We're believing to see him in the mirror, and then we're believing to see him in the sky, aren't we? Amen. And of course, he's coming back to pick the fruit. That is, those that have the works of the kingdom. Receiving the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. Now, when you first get saved, that's called the salvation of your spirit. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions, all which comes if you walk by faith and your spirit is manifested in your soul. Otherwise, your flesh will be manifested in your soul, and that's twice dead and plucked up by the roots. So, receiving the end, you endure in your faith, to receive the end of your faith, which is the manifestation, even the salvation of your souls. Concerning which salvation the prophets sought and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what time or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did point unto, when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow them. Amen. Oh, praise you, Father. This is good. Good stuff. Lord, we love your word. We ask, Lord, that you would bring to our remembrance all things that you have said unto us. Lord, we want to be overcomers. We want to receive the fullness of our reconciliation, which you provided for us at the cross. We want the fullness of Christ in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Lord, we know that as Christ grows in us and as fruit is born in us, the less likely we are to fall away, because the one in us is Christ. And of course, he doesn't fall away. And we ask, Lord, that you grant us repentance of everything that's contrary to the word. We ask, Lord, that you put a love in us for the word, because we love your commandments. And the ones that love you are the ones that keep your commandments. So we ask you, Lord, put a love in us for your commandments, Lord. We ask you to grant us repentance from those things that need to be cast down, those vain imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And Lord, let us bring every thought into captivity as you've taught, and unto the obedience of Christ, who is the Word. Father, this is what we desire. We thank you for that gift that you have given unto us. Help us to be humble, Lord, to confess our sins one to another, because you give grace to the humble, but you resist the proud. The proud out there don't grow. They can spend a whole lifetime claiming to be Christian, but they never grow in the faith or the works of Jesus Christ. And many times they may get discouraged, or they may get fearful and back away and go right back to the ways of the world. And they don't understand that they have lost their fruit, and that they've only been given a certain amount of time. We are running a race here against the clock to bear the fruit of Jesus Christ. We don't want to waste our time in the things of the world and in feeding our flesh, but in feeding our spiritual man, the Word of God, the very thing that causes him to grow up into the image of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray, we ask for your mercy in this regard, that you would grant repentance. And Lord, for those out there that aren't filled with your Spirit, which is your power in them, Lord, I pray that you will cause them to read the book of Acts and see what it is to be filled with the Spirit, and see what they need, the promise of the Father. And Lord, if they're not walking in the obedience that they have, it's very likely that they may not even receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, he gives to those that obey him. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we want to be obedient and to be filled with your Spirit and to be empowered to walk as Jesus walked and as his disciples walked. Lord, not in the vain ways of dead religion that has no power whatsoever. Lord, bless us and grant us this grace, Lord. Lord, it's much less likely when someone is filled with the Spirit that they will fall away. And Lord, we know it's not just those who are filled with the Spirit, but those that obey the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. These will not fall away. To be led of the Spirit is what we must do and what we must have. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for your grace today. You taught us that everything we pray for, believe we've received it and we shall have it. So today we're thanking you, Lord, for empowering us, for filling us with your Spirit, for teaching us how to hear your voice. Obviously, if we have the Holy Spirit, but we walk after the flesh, we just die more responsible because we had the power and we didn't use it. And so we thank you, Father, for your blessings to us, granting us grace, granting us to understand if we're in a backslidden, fallen situation, and helping everyone in that situation to repent, to confess their sins. You're powerful. You give grace to the humble, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you would convict anyone out there to be diligent, to have prayer partners, and to hold themselves responsible, and to confess our sins. And Lord, you said if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's a powerful promise. It takes some humility. Pride keeps us from doing it, or fear can keep us from doing it. Fear of rejection, that somebody won't be accepting us if they believe we're not perfect. And that's foolishness, really. Father, we thank you for your mercy towards us. We thank you for your grace towards us. We thank you that you're drawing us unto yourself, like the Shulamite in Song of Solomon. She said, draw us and we will run after thee. Father, this is what we ask, that you draw us, that you give us a hunger and a thirst for righteousness that will be filled, that we can be pleasing in your sight, Lord. We depend upon your mercy and your grace, Lord, but we know that if we hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not, we will have what you've promised. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Well, thank you for joining us today, saints. And I hope this has helped you a little bit. And maybe we'll continue this again next time, okay? And God bless you. Good night.